Yes, on this November the 10th in the year of our Lord 2016, I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and it's a Rumination Thursday. Yesterday, we had a number of students, in fact, my confirmation class in the parochial school at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm. We had them answering some questions, doing some singing, and by the way, they then took a tour of the International Center here where the studios are. Anybody might want to bring their students, you can make arrangements by calling the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And if you're here in the morning, I don't mind having students in the studio with me. And so that's something kind of to be thinking about. Well, today we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Pastor Baker. How are you?
Well, I'm doing really good, although I was very disappointed with Tuesday night because I'm waiting for the numbers to come out, and when they came out, it was just crushing, simply because I had really hoped that Ohio State would be in the top four, and they weren't. They were number five. And in another poll, they were number six. I'm talking about college football, of course, which everybody had on their mind on Tuesday. Is that right?
Yeah, right. Well, that was also the election. I stayed up all night for that one.
Oh, there was an election also on Tuesday?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting taking a look last night. Some people were protesting the election of Donald Trump. But I tell you, we here at KFUO, yesterday on Issues Etc., they interviewed the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Matthew Harrison, and he was making some excellent points about that. We in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we don't go into the pulpit and tell people who to vote for, because last week in the sermon, I told them, I looked up the word Clinton and Trump, and neither one of them was in the Bible.
Well, you know, yeah, in connection with yesterday, I saw and heard what I thought were two important extremes that were going on.
What was that?
Well, first one you mentioned, both of them you mentioned. First one was the rioting and the protesting, because they didn't get what they want. The young college students were out there protesting that Trump shouldn't have been elected. On the other hand, I heard you on KFUO, you were catechizing students. You were teaching them the Word of God. And that's important for the decisions that they make later in their life, especially when they go to college.
Yes, a number of commentators were making the point that these were students from colleges where they felt the professors were not talking properly about what it means to be an American citizen, etc. So we ought not be surprised that they would be out protesting a legitimate election. Had the other side won, guess what? I don't think anybody would have been protesting at all, because no. They are of a understanding that elections have consequences.
Right. And I think we also have to keep in mind, too, it was brought out that it was one-tenth of a percent of those that were out there protesting. So we do have a large section of young people that weren't involved in such activities.
Well, we have a program here on KFUO next Wednesday, November the 16th, where they're going to be talking about implications of the election. And so tune into that. It's not my program. Wednesday, 11:16 here on KFUO. Today, of course, is November the 10th. But we want to make it clear, as did President Harrison yesterday on Issues Etc., that as Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastors, we don't get up into the pulpit and tell people by name who to vote for. We prefer to stick with issues.
Oh, I think that's an excellent point that he's bringing out, and it's also one that I follow as well. All you have to do is just talk about what the scriptures talk about. For instance, the unborn, this whole thing of babies being aborted. I mean, all you have to do is talk about that, and they can look at the candidates and see which ones say it's okay to kill babies.
Yes, and somebody asked me, though, would I ever vote for someone who was pro-abortion, and what was my answer?
Well, it depends.
Yes, very good, Wes. It depends. And they were shocked. They said, you'd vote for somebody who was pro-abortion? I said, okay, let me give you the scenario. The one person says you can have an abortion throughout all 9 months. The other person says after 10 weeks, abortions should be banned because here you have a person, a human being, etc. Well, with that choice, and if those were the only two choices, you would always hopefully vote for the person that would not allow abortions after a short period of time. Or somebody might say, yeah, I'm for abortion. You don't have to tell your parents. You don't have to look at a sonogram. And somebody else says, no, parents should be informed and you need to look at a sonogram ahead of time.
Well, I think you bring up a good point, though, because I know in watching some of the candidates out there, they start out in partial birth abortions, you know, the 10 weeks. And over time, they became persuaded that, you know, you really shouldn't do abortions at all.
Yes, yes. Time magazine recently had a chart there going through each state and what kind of laws they had, because the Supreme Court did allow that you can have certain laws. For example, in some states, they must get a sonogram of the fetus prior to the abortion. And one of my good friends who works in that area says that when that happens, 95% of the women say no to the abortion and 90% of their partners do. So that's a great law. Another law is, can you imagine having a daughter who has an abortion and the law says that she does not, or the doctors don't need to tell you about it?
Oh, horrible.
Yes. So there were about 10 or 15 laws that are going throughout the country. And as I've thought in my mind, what really is at stake here is something that a new president cannot change. There's only one area that a new president can't reverse what the previous president did, and that is Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, I think that's very important. Yeah, we're looking at quite a few of them. At least one coming up, and possibly two in the next several years.
Yes, depending on retirement, etc. So this could have ramifications. For example, how can we get in the area of politics? What makes politics possible is where you're dealing with issues that the church is opposed to as a church. For example, Roman Catholic nuns, the law was going to be that they would have to pay insurance for abortions. Well, that's ridiculous.
Right. Well, didn't our president also support that and go up to Capitol Hill?
That support that they would have to pay for abortions?
That they wouldn't have to.
Yeah, that they wouldn't have to. Yes, that's right.
I'm sorry. He was part of the protest that said no to this.
Well, you know, it's one thing to say, and who would be against this, that health care ought to be available for everybody? It's quite another thing to say that you can't choose which doctors you want to go to and you can't choose which part of the health care you want to pay for. I mean, why does a man have to pay health care insurance for becoming pregnant?
You're right.
Yeah. And if you don't want to get into a health insurance plan that pays for abortions, you should have the right to do so. But even there, Christians can disagree in the sense that Martin Luther wrote an excellent article where he talked about that if you ever think that you're going to get elected to high office, someone who is a Christian and thinks just like the way you do, that would be a miracle.
Yeah, but I think it's important that we keep in mind that, though, that overall, We are to submit to our authorities, to our government, to the laws of the land, and we will come across those those parts like abortion and that where we're going to disagree.
That's right. It's a very clear principle from the Bible. Romans 13 says, pay taxes to whom taxes are due. So we in the pulpit wouldn't be talking about, well, that should be lower taxes or higher taxes. We have no more insight as a pastor than as a layperson on an issue like that. But when you're coming to abortion, for example, my wife was a nurse, and they have the right to refuse to participate in an abortion, and they cannot be fired for that. What we need to do is make sure that pastors are going to have the right not to marry people who are gay, and they're not going to lose their tax-exempt status or this sort of thing.
Right. You know, I think you bring up an excellent point. In fact, we had our Lincoln Circuit Conference here.
Okay, what's a circuit conference?
Well, a circuit is about 8 to 10, 11 Missouri Synod congregations
yes.
that get together. And the pastors get together about once a month, and they call it a conference, a winkle, a circuit meeting. And we discuss scriptures, the confessions, business that's going on in our churches and things of that nature. And one of them brought up that we really need to deal with this whole area of marriage. And it's one thing for God to call what is a marriage. It's a whole other thing when we start doing it. And he didn't have a problem with calling it civil unions with a gay marriage, not gay marriage itself.
Yes, that we understand marriage always to be between a man and a woman. If the government is going to allow these civil unions, we would not participate in making that a civil union. But, for example, the government, I'll give you a perfect example where the government and the church disagrees. The government permits divorce for any reason at all. Whereas the two people might get divorced by the government, that's legal. But then if they belong to a church where the divorce is unbiblical, charges and discipline may be brought against one or both of the members for an unscriptural divorce. And that can even lead to excommunication.
Right. Yeah. And I think you're making that distinction. About, you know, we ought to follow God rather than man, but we obey the laws of the land up to the point that it disagrees with God's command.
Well, that's what Paul said, obey God rather than man. Yes,
yeah.
Excellent point. So the church has got to be awful careful when we get in the area of politics. And I'll tell you why. A very simple reason why I rarely talk about even these issues unless the Bible is really clear on them. If someone disagrees with me on one of those issues and they have the right to do so according to the Bible, then guess what? They're not going to listen to me on theology.
No, they're not. And I think that's an important point to bring up. I mean, again, it's just a matter of discussing it from what God has to say. And that's why we bring up the abortion is just so clear.
It would be like me. I've learned a lot about farming, being at Trinity Lutheran Church and Orchard Farm. These combines are just huge machines, and I did not realize this. They have computers on them that actually sow the seed in a certain pattern, and they use satellites for this. Then when they harvest it, that computer picks up that pattern and makes it easier to harvest the plant when it's grown. I never knew that.
You know what else they come with?
What?
Air conditioning.
Yes, many of them do. Although, I was talking to the wife of one of these guys. She says, boy, he's got to go right into the shower because even though it's enclosed and such, there's so much dust. But can you imagine me in a sermon indicating to these people a better way to do planning. Yeah, see, even you laugh. And when they listen to this, this is the guy. I didn't realize, and I learned that when you were having me preach in your area up there near Springfield, etc., that there's six different kinds of corn.
Yes.
I mean, and they would explain it to me and such like that. And I just assumed, you know, for a long time that when you saw this corn, you could go into the field, take off some corn and go home and make popcorn.
Right. Well, there's six different kinds of popcorn seed, too, you know.
No, don't get me into all this, see. So one of the reasons we pastors need to be silent in areas where we are not experts according to the Bible is because then people aren't going to listen to us when we are experts according to the Bible. They're going to say, how do I believe this guy when he was so messed up in these other areas?
Well, and I think what we really think is important is the freedom of speech, so that we can go out and speak the gospel about Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yeah, we're teaching confirmation, of course, at Trinity, and one of the things we're doing, Pastor Fisk has just joined the staff here at KFUO. He is got a lot of things on YouTube, and I hope he talks about them. He's going to have the morning show and some things in the afternoon. In fact, he's getting installed today at the worship service. But I use some of his material that he has on YouTube for the kids because he moves around a lot. He's got a lot of object lessons and such. And we get across to the kids in confirmation, therefore, an understanding of theology that helps them to be able to talk to their friends who disagree with us in certain areas.
Right. But, you know, this freedom of speech is to me really an important area, because really, when you look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's really a story about Jesus and the whole message of salvation. And the ability for us to get out and to speak that to our friends and to our neighbors about the good news of Jesus Christ is really all important for us.
I was listening to one of the, I guess you can say, a commentator on MSNBC, and he was saying, you know, you Christians, you can have your beliefs and you can become an officer in your church, but don't try to become an officer in the United States of America and bring those beliefs into the public square. You don't have a right to do that.
Oh, and my goodness.
I believe, now this is not a pastor, this is just me personal opinion, that the media did not do any favors for Mrs. Clinton.
Oh, no.
The more you heard them and were thinking, is this the kind of attitude that this administration would have against Christians? It sounds like this wasn't her attitude all the time, but when they were supporting her and saying those things, this is why a pastor's got to be really careful in who he's saying he's supporting or not supporting, because there is nobody who's going to be the perfect kind of a Christian when they get into office. In fact, if I ran for office, guess who would not vote for me?
Your wife?
Yes. So if I can't get her vote, boy. Yes.
But I think it's important, you know, to bring out that we have many good Christians that are in elected offices, or they serve in our military, they serve in our police departments, they serve in our civil governments.
Yes.
And yet they serve all in such a way to carry out the laws of the land and be fair to all people of race, color, religion, you name it.
But I've never met a person running for office where I agree with them in 100% of things.
Oh, yeah. I
you're
agree.
In the Springfield area. Boy, do you ever have some interesting divisions in Springfield. I mean, when half of them are for, you know, the Cardinals and half of the Cubs, you can only imagine what it's like in the area of politics.
But they're pretty friendly. But yeah, and the area of politics is quite different. In fact, you know, these commercials would come up on local politicians, and I'd look at my wife and I'd say, that's untrue, that's a falsehood, that's true, that's a falsehood.
Yes. Yeah, it was. You know, I know they say negative advertising really helps a person get elected, but I've often thought, what if I was running for office and this guy's accusing me of all kinds of bad things, like maybe the house I live in, the car I drive, how I make my money. And I would say, you know, my opponent is an upright person, a man of integrity, and I'll tell you, the only reason I wouldn't vote for him is not because of who he is or his lifestyle, as it is the issues.
Issues. Well, you know, that was the case in one of the local races around here.
Oh, really? That happened?
The guy ran a real negative ad campaign on there, and it was 2-1, 3-1 in his loss.
Wow.
I mean, you could just see it. In fact, I even got surveyed, and I kept telling the survey, I said, the person that you're talking about is not that way. I said, I know the family, and I know their background. And I said, it's just not so.
Well, do you know how many phone calls we were getting with pollers, or pollers, or what do you call them? People do polls anyway.
Surveyors.
Pollsters. Yeah, and they would say, we'd like to know who you're going to vote for, and I always would say Reagan.
Right.
And then they would hang up. It was a good way. Or you would say Carter, or, oh, I would love Kennedy to get in. So they kind of thought I was behind the scene, and all of a sudden I wasn't getting as many calls. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know about your phone, but mine hasn't been ringing near as much since Wednesday.
Yeah, mine kind of went silent too.
Yeah. But it's really important, and you made this point earlier, that the main purpose of a pastor is to preach Christ and Him crucified.
Yep.
And that not only means about our justification, namely how we came into the church, but it also includes our sanctification. How do we respond in the world? So what politics is, as I look at it, it's not that there's a big disagreement as to whether or not people should have health care. The disagreement comes about in how are we going to do that? And a lot of people, when they were looking at their new bills starting in 2017, the reason their health care under Obamacare was going up so high is because much of that money that they were giving in was also going to be used for people who didn't have any money. And I think some people just were kind of upset over that. So it's going to take a real wisdom as to how to provide health care for everyone who needs it, while at the same time not making people angry because of the high costs.
Right. And I think another really important point was what I said earlier, you know, the two views, those that were out there rioting, the young people, and listening to you yesterday as you were catechizing, you know, the Trinity Orchard Farm confirmation class. We really forget that teaching our children, our young people, our adults, the world views that are out there, God's world view and the world view of the prince of the power of air, the devil himself, or mankind, that we need to be about letting them be able to make those decisions on the basis of what we've learned from God's word.
Yes, yesterday I was walking into an office, a medical office, and I got conversation. Doctor wasn't ready for me, and got a conversation with the secretary. And I made a point, you know, that I always do in sermons about something. She said, oh, I don't think I agree with that. And then I made the point to her, no, what I'm talking about is from God's point of view.
Yeah.
I was saying, is everyone in your congregation sinless? She says, oh, no. And I said, well, from God's point of view, they are. She, well, if you're going to say that, she said. And I said, that's all we need to say is what difference does it make from God's point of view? And we had a really good conversation.
Right. Yeah. See, this Sunday we have four baptisms.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we're going to be talking about God's point of view and that robe of righteousness of that glorious exchange. That,
and where are those baptisms going to take place?
At Trinity Lutheran Church in Manitou on South Park Avenue.
At what time?
9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow. So
yeah, we're looking forward to it.
We're having a high festival day at Trinity Orchard Farm. It's the sausage dinner, the annual sausage dinner. So,
do you deliver?
No, but you can go and get takeout.
Takeout.
So, oh yeah, from noon to 7 is the takeout. Noon from 6, you can eat in the gymnasium all you want. And I think it's $10 a ticket. So we'll look forward to seeing anybody there. And hopefully you'll be back with me next Thursday, Wes, right?
Yep. Oh, it's great. It's always great being with you.
All right. God bless. And tomorrow it's Open Mic Friday. God bless.
On Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.